everyone. You're welcome to our podcast, Young People Leading Self-Care Advocacy. Today is World AIDS Day, and it is observed annually on 1st December as a global initiative to raise awareness about the HIV and AIDS pandemic and show support for those living with HIV and remember those who have succumbed to the disease. And this year's theme is looking at Let Communities Lead, which is serving as a foundation for our AIDS Day edition, with a focus on young people leading self-care advocacy. And I'm so excited to have you join us. We have amazing young people, and you're all welcome, our dear listeners. I'm called Patricia Humura, and I am from Uganda. I'm a young person who is very passionate about helping communities to lead. And I would like to welcome our panelists. Before we proceed, I would like to let you know that the podcast is available on the Y Plus Young Voices channel, hosted under the Youth Care and Youth Voice Project, supported by AIDS Funds. So thank you so much for joining us, and it's gonna be great because we are listening from young people themselves. So I would like to introduce my panelists. Please, I'll start with Agatha. You can introduce yourself, tell us who you are, your organization, and your role in self-care advocacy. Thank you.
Hi everyone listening. I hope you have a good time. My name is Agatha. I'm 21 years old. I'm a trans woman, and I'm from Indonesia. I work at Inti Muda Indonesia as the program manager. So my organization is the National Network for Young Key Populations and Young People with HIV in Indonesia. My role in the youth-led self-care advocacy is basically like it has been, like I have been an active activist for this matter since last year. And I'm excited, so excited to be here to have fun. Thank you, Patricia.
Thank you so much, Agatha, for that powerful introduction. And we're so excited because you're an activist. And so next we have Jan. Over to you, Jan. Tell us who you are, your organization, and your role in self-care advocacy initiatives for YouthWise and YouthCare. Jan?
Hi, how are you? My name is Juan de la Mar. I am from Colombia, from Latin America. I am 30 years old. I'm a gender fluid person, and I'm so happy to share with you this 1st of December. Since the other side of the world, I was the coordinator of advocacy of J+LAC, the Latin American Network of Young People Living with HIV. And now I'm a consultant, independent consultant in UNAIDS and UNFPA in Colombia and in Latin America. I have worked in self-care because I learned about that in feminist and transfeminist movements in Colombia and in Latin America. It's a topic that is really important for me, and I have worked using the art to share and to make reflections about self-care in my region. Nice to hear you, and thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Vivian. You'll pardon me how I pronounce your name, but greetings from Africa. We're so excited to have you, and to have you as a young consultant, a young person is a consultant. This is so excellent. Thank you. And our last panelist is Jerob. Over to you, Jerob. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Hi, everyone. I hope you're well. Happy World AIDS Day 2023. My name is Jero Plimo. I work with and for an organization called Ambassador for Youth and Adolescent Reproductive Health Program as the executive director. I am a young woman who is extremely passionate about empowering young people with a little bit bias of young women and adolescents. And through my work, in the self-care space, we implement a project called YouthWise and YouthCare, which are projects that work around empowering young people on matters of self-care, ensuring that young people are able to access services, ensuring that even young people are empowered enough to be able to make autonomous decisions about their health. I'm quite excited to be here, and especially on this special day where we are talking about letting communities lead. And that makes me reason about how do we ensure that also young people lead in the HIV response. So I'm so excited to share insights and also engage with you all. Back to you.
Thank you so much. I have a strong panel. I am so proud of you, self-care enthusiasts, self-care lovers, and self-care givers in our different communities that we are leading. The main reason as to why we are here, we are going to spotlight impactful self-care advocacy by YouthWise and YouthCare, and we'll delve into the strategies, challenges, and successes from Indonesia to Latin America to Africa. And I believe we are all experienced, so we'll share from our different global spaces or platforms. And this podcast is also going to facilitate an emerging discussion among panelists. We want to explore some innovative self-care advocacy methods, the influence of youth-led networks, and the broader implications for global health. So I would like to ask all of you, dear panelists, before we dive into the questions on youth self-care advocacy, could you share some insights into why this session on self-care advocacy is critical, especially in the context of World AIDS Day and the theme, Let Communities Lead? I think I'll start with Agatha. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. I think it's very important, right? The self-care for young people, advocacy, in the context of this year's World AIDS Day, which is Let Community Lead, I think it promotes empowerment and autonomy, because as young people, especially if you come from the marginalized grassroots community, you have been told that your opportunities are limited, that you are destined to be a failure, but throughout the self-care and bridging it to the Let Communities Lead, it promotes young people to take control of their health. It encourages them to make informed decisions about their well-being. And I think it fosters a sense of autonomy and authority individually. And if you have that in the community, then you empower the whole community of young people. Back to you, Patricia.
Wow, this is so powerful. Autonomy at a personal level, and then we control our health, and then we continue to also work with our communities. Wow, this is so powerful. Thank you so much. And I will request Jan to go next.
Okay. In my view, self-care and collective care are important for our activism, of course, but when we say let communities lead, we have to think in the ways in that communities work, sometimes without guarantees, for example, without conditions to make our work and our activism. For this reason, I think let communities lead invites us to reflect about the dignity that is necessary to us to make our work, the conditions to work, to make our activities, our activism, to have, for example, the possibility to receive a dignity payment for our work. And not only this topic, but also to have the possibility to make our work in dignity of conditions to make this.
Thank you, Juan. Sorry about that. I think we can proceed. And then I will ask Jerob to go next. Thank you. Jerob, okay, as we wait for Jerob, we can proceed to the next question. Thank you so much, Juan, for the amazing insights. It's great that you talked about how we should look at how communities think or work and the conditions that can contribute to make our activism friendly. So I will request... And I'm still going back to you, Jerob. So besides, you've shared about I'll still go back to you, Yuan. You've shared about how you feel like we should make communities friendly. We should ensure that the conditions are favorable. Could you share more with us the challenges that often come with advocacy? What are some of these challenges that you've faced in promoting self-care and how have you overcome them? Thank you. One, okay.
Okay, can you remind me the question, please? Sorry.
Okay, thank you. So the question is, advocacy comes with challenges. And please, may you share some of the challenges that you've experienced in promoting self-care and how you've overcome them, because you did speak more to how you think we should make communities friendly to our activism. Thank you.
Yes, of course. Like activists, we pay attention in human rights defense, of course, in activism, in advocacy process, but most of the times we forget to speak and make the reflections about self-care and collective care too. I think we use a lot of energy in work outside for others, for our communities, of course, but we don't invest time in our mental health, in our self and collective care. When we speak about collective care, we refer to communities work, to the strategies to make the activism friendly, because this work could be complicated in some contexts. For example, in Latin America, there are countries that have a complicated situation of human rights, for example, with violent governments. We have countries in war, in situations of war, and of course we invest our time and our energy in work in these things, and for this reason we forget our mental health. So in J Plus Lab, in the regional network of young people living with HIV, we, for example, created spaces in the assemblies of the network to speak and to reflect with the activists, because these people in their countries make amazing works and invest and waste a lot of energy and a lot of life, if you want, in make this work. So in our assemblies, we make spaces, for example, using art, using theater, using spaces to listen our needs, situations, our problems, and to give hope to say, okay, we are changing the world is our intention, but we have to care in an individual way, in a collective way too.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing. And it's exciting to know that you're investing in your self-care through art, through theater. And thank you for flagging off the aspect of complicating human rights. By virtue of being human, we deserve to enjoy our human rights satisfactorily. Thank you so much. So before I can request Jerop to come in, I would like to invite invite Agatha to share with us looking at this World AIDS Day theme, Communities Lead. How do you see community engagement, especially for young people who are playing a role in self-care advocacy? And how have you involved communities in your initiatives? Thank you. And then after Agatha, I will invite Jerop to go next. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Patricia. I think the engagement of community, especially like young people in self-care advocacy, is about tailoring intervention to local context. Because like self-care advocacy for young people is a global movement, right? Like youth movement all over the world are doing this right now. This is what we are trying to advocate. But the role of community engagement, at least in Indonesia, is to tailor these interventions to local context, because communities have unique characteristics. We have cultural norms, we have social structures, and engaging with the community members, especially young people, allows us for a better understanding of local context. And this is crucial, because then we want the community itself, the young people, to understand what are the self-care advocacy means for you and how this can improve you as young people individually or your community. And this is also building trust and credibility, because like when initiatives are led by community members or actively involve their participation, there is a higher likelihood that the community themselves will also understand, because it's peer-to-peer approach. It's being preached by someone who looks, acts, speaks your language just like you. So the trust is there. So the trust is being built as we're speaking. And I think like by involving community, you also cultivating a sense of ownership and responsibility, because like this is about us and this is for us. So we have to take this initiative. We have to lead this. And by creating the sense of safe space within the community when we're talking about the self-care advocacy, it's also establishing a feedback mechanism that is safe, because it's your peers, you know, it's your peers. So when you want the inputs, when you want to help improve the outputs, you know, you want the community to be able to identify the challenges, the gaps, the areas for improvement, to ensure that the intervention remain responsive to the community needs. There are safe spaces because it was built by your peers. It is being built by your peers and will be built by ourselves. So basically, we are creating the movement that is stronger than ever, because we are the ones who take the driver's seat and say, this is our need and this is how we are going to do it. Back to you, Patricia.
Yay! That is powerful, because I like the fact that you pointed out that community is young people and this is about us, and then we should utilize communities and also ensure that we utilize the feedback mechanism, especially because community has people who are our peers. Thank you so much, Agatha. And now we have Jerop join us. Jerop, tell us some of the specific self-care advocacy initiatives your organization has undertaken and what strategies you have found most impactful in promoting self-care among young people. Over to you, Jerop. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. I hope you can hear me well.
Loud and clear.
Awesome. So I'll talk about our two projects, YouthWise and YouthCare, which are projects that focus on self-care with a key aspect of empowering adolescents and young people to be able to actually be in charge of their health, because that's how we look at self-care, empowering the young people to be able to be in charge, to make autonomous decisions about their health and their well-being. And ideally, a lot of the work we are doing right now is not only to empower young people to take up services, but also to empower them to actually advocate for availability of comprehensive youth-friendly services, to advocate for availability of commodities in their facilities, but to also hold different government officials, county officials, health management teams to ensure they're able to actually provide the services and the required commodities. A lot of our work is also in ensuring that we are able to create an enabling environment or community for the young people to actually practice self-care. As we all know, there's so many challenges and barriers when it comes to access to services, especially reproductive health services with adolescents. So the aspects of empowering parents, religious leaders, social actors, different stakeholders in the environment where young people exist, to ensure that even when you empower them, they're actually able to take up those services, utilize them, and have an enabling environment to be able to actually really make autonomous decisions about their health and their well-being. And this is actually made possible in partnership with the different consortia members, including WorkPlus Global. And we are working to ensure that we're also advocating for policy changes, because we know policies continue to be a barrier when it comes to accessing services. There's age limit, there's aspects of consent, there's aspect of who can receive what services and who cannot. And ideally, all these limitations are creating a lot of barriers when it comes to accessing services. So nationally, we are actually doing a lot of policy advisory work and advocating for review and changes in the policies and guidelines to allow adolescents to actually access the services that they need.
Wow, thank you so much, Cherop. This is such an amazing project. This is such an amazing role that your organization is playing. For instance, you are the ones who are empowering parents. Parents, it should be the other way around, but we have showed the world that it's a win-win. We are the ones to empower parents, and parents empower us. Empower religious leaders, social actors, utilize these different self-care approaches within the different people we meet. And Jerop, you've actually answered the question on how the youth-wise and youth care has influenced and contributed to the success of self-care advocacy efforts, because you've highlighted of how you're reviewing policies, frameworks, so that they align with the self-care needs of young people, not only young people, but also different stakeholders. I am enjoying this podcast. Before we can get back to Jerop, I'd like to invite Agatha. Agatha, beyond the local impact, how do you believe effective self-care practices among young people contribute to the broader global health goals, especially in the context of HIV and AIDS? Over to you, Agatha. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patricia. I think, like I said, individually, to the community, to the district level, to the national level, and then to broader global health goals, I think self-care promotes prevention of new infection, because self-care practices such as consistent and correct condom use, regular testing, knowledge about safer sex are crucial for preventing new HIV infection. And, you know, it contributes to the global efforts to curb the spread of the virus. And more so, it also reduces stigma and discrimination, because the advocacy often involves addressing stigma and discrimination associated with HIV, right? So when young people are educated and encouraged to engage in self-care practices, it helps normalizes discussions around HIV, you know? It also empowers communities, and I think it contributes to the broader goal of building resilient and empowered community that actively participate in global health initiatives. And not forget that self-care practices align with various sustainable development goals, including goal 3, the good health and well-being, and goal 5, gender equality. And by addressing health issues, Self-care contributes to broader efforts to achieve sustainable and equitable development globally. And I think HIV has significant socioeconomic implications, right? And with effective self-care practices, by preventing new infection and improving health outcomes, it also contributes to mitigate the socioeconomic impact of the virus. This includes reducing healthcare costs, maintaining a productive workforce, fostering economic stability within communities and nations. And like Juan has said, it also promotes the health balance, you know, for the activists who actively works in the field, you know, for the community, because I think it's very important topics that are often overlooked because of how heavy the burden of HIV movement globally is. So I think that's how the self-care practices contribute to the broader global health goals. Thank you. Over to you, Patricia.
Thank you so much, Jerob. That was powerful. I think our aim right now is to have active communities from the grassroots level to the global level. So I'd like to go back to Jerob. And in 1 minute, Jerob, please tell us how these activities you've been implementing, you feel they've contributed to the success of self-care advocacy efforts. Over to you, Jerob.
So I'll just give a brief context, especially about self-care here in Kenya. Self-care in Kenya is still a new concept. Many partners, many organizations, many young people are still not fully aware about what self-care is, especially when it comes to their health. Ideally, when you talk about self-care, many people think about, you know, resting, making your nails and whatnot, but we have the self-care that which is in the context of health. So one of the things we've been doing that has really given us a lot of impact is empowering the young people about health self-care, about them being in charge of their own health, about them actually taking up products and commodities like the self-test kit, the dapivirine ring, taking your medicine or your ARVs religiously as part of self-care, as a way of not just taking care of your body, but also really being keen about your health and your well-being. So it is engaging young people through different sessions we're having with them. Particularly, I'll talk about the psychosocial support group, where we are allowing young people to come in, sit, share, you know, joke and laugh with each other, but at the end of the day, learn and hear from each other as a way of allowing young people to empower each other, which has been quite impactful as well. The other aspect is dialogue with the community. Like I mentioned, empowering a young person is not enough. You have to empower the people around that young person so that this young person is able to make use of all the knowledge and information they have. So dialogue with the community is quite important and one of the things we are doing.
Powerful. Thank you so much. And indeed, self-care is part, it's contributing to us taking the initiative to care for our bodies, to care for ourselves, to know that we are not alone, and to know that we are working with a community of people. Thank you so much, Jerob. So I would like to invite Yuan. Collaboration is a key outcome goal. How do you envision fostering collaboration among diverse youth-led networks for a shared understanding of effective self-care practices? Over to you, Yuan. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. In Latin America, when I made part of J+LAC, like an advocacy coordinator, we created an initiative. It's called LAC Youth Network. It's a big network that is formed by youth and adolescent organizations that work in climate change, feminist movement, with students, of course, LGBTQ plus people, and of course, HIV and young women and key populations. This network have lead to speak about intersectionality, health problems common to young people. And of course, in this network is a space, an interesting space where we are going to work and talk about self-care in the future. This network was created like 2 years ago with the support of UNAIDS Latin America. And in this moment, this network made a leadership school to young people, of course, using the virtual resources. So we have part two of two consortium of organizations to speak and work about HIV. And in these spaces, we are the only young network, like Agatha said before me, the work to young people, to adolescents and young people must be support to speak and to work about this topic, because sometimes we see the work that is made by other networks and self-care and collective care aren't topics important to today. And in these spaces, we create this topic to prioritize. And in these spaces that we may part, for example, and we have the intention to work with the support of other global and regional networks in this topic. We are learning about self-care and collective care in HIV. And for us, it's too important to make part of these spaces. For example, Y Plus Global have supported national networks in Latin America, young people living with HIV. And for example, here in Colombia, the network of the people of the South, it's a network that is formed by Afro-descendants and indigenous people. And in these communities, healthcare has been worked in the topic, or in the, I don't know, how can I say, sorry, like in the, yes, in the topic of collective care. And there are ancestral and artisanal practices that these communities have practiced around the history. And the intention to us is to learn and to share with these experiences, about these experiences, to implement in the regional network and to share with regional networks of other regions and the global network of comms.
Great. Well, well is not enough, but thank you so much for sharing some of the diverse groups, different people we can work with, and how we need to understand the effective self-care practice. This is great work. Thank you so much. So I will invite Agatha. Looking ahead, how do you see the intersection of self-care advocacy, youth-led networks, and global health evolving in the coming years? Over to you, Agatha.
Thank you, Patricia. I think the intersection of like self-care advocacy, youth-led networks, and global health evolve in coming years, it can come in the forms of digital innovation and technology integration. Because like the use of digital platforms, mobile application, online resources, I think like it plays an increasingly significant role in activism, and it, you know, like youth movement doesn't immune to that, because technology can enhance the reach and effectiveness of self-care advocacy initiatives. It provides accessible information, tools, and support to young people globally. And I think there will likely be a growing impasse on intersectionality within self-care advocacy efforts, because like recognizing and addressing the unique challenges faced by individuals at the intersections of race, gender, sexuality, ethnicity, socioeconomic status. I think it will be integral to developing inclusive and effective initiatives, right? And the trend of Let communities lead, which is this year's World AIDS Day theme, is likely to intensify with a stronger emphasis on community-driven initiatives. Localized, culturally sensitive approaches that actively involve community members in planning, implementation, and evaluation will be the key to the success of self-care advocacy. And if we integrate the national level efforts, the global health efforts, I think like it also can recognize the importance of collaboration and solidarity. You know, youth-led networks will likely engage in more international collaboration, sharing best practices, resources, and insights to address common challenges in self-care and HIV prevention, you know, to improve what we have done so far. And I think increased emphasis on data collection and analysis will inform evidence-based approaches to self-care advocacy, right? Because I think like evidence-based approach is very important to all kinds of approach in eliminating AIDS, and data-driven insights will help tailor intervention to specific demographics, track progress, and identify areas for improvement. And for me, education and empowerment will remain central themes in self-care advocacy. As young people gain more knowledge about their health and rights, they will continue to demand accessible and accurate information, contributing to a more informed and empowered global youth population. Thank you. Back to you, Patricia.
Thank you so much, Agatha. That was really great. Thank you all for the amazing insights, the great work that you're doing. And indeed, we might have to continue with the digital innovation. We might have to embrace technology, but with great ethical standards so that we do not have any abuses on people's health, and continue to have international collaborations and work towards educating and empowering everyone. Thank you. So my amazing panelists, I hope that you're happy, and I believe the speakers are also happy. But before I request you to conclude, and I'm going to give everyone a minute, how can, I would like you to share just your call to action in 1 minute. And for our listeners also as well, in case they have any comments to share them, how can we contribute to the culture of proactive self-care and support similar initiatives in our communities? How can we contribute to the culture of proactive self-care and support similar initiatives in our communities? I will start with Jerope, and then I'll go to Yuan, and then Agatha. Over to you, Jerope.
Thank you so much, Patricia. Indeed, this is quite interesting, and I'm picking a lot of points. For me, it would be really being intentional about ethical and meaningful engagement of young people, just leaning towards this year's theme, letting communities lead. I've been thinking a lot about how can we ensure that the right people are in the spaces where these decisions are being made, not only just being seated there for reporting purposes, but actually young people designing, you know, implementing and even evaluating their own programs. And a lot of this needs a lot of support. It needs a lot of intentional effort from partners, from development partners as well, from organizations, and even at community spaces, where as organizations, as programmers, we're actually stepping back and creating seats for the communities themselves, for the young people themselves to sit in those spaces and tell us how can we actually support them while they provide the guidance. I'll also really highlight the most important aspect is a lot of work needs to be done around policy environments. We have quite a lot of challenges and barriers that are placed by policies which are not, you know, really speaking to the needs of the young people at this particular point. So review of policies and guidelines to ensure that they actually support access and even practice of self-care among young people. As a country, we recently launched our self-care policy and guideline, and as an organization, we are quite intentional about advocating for its implementation. When a policy is available and fully implemented, then you're able to see its impact in the community. So for us, it's a policy review, policy implementation, and also ethical and meaningful involvement of young people in the spaces.
Powerful. Thank you so much, Jerob. Over to you, Jan.
Okay. Communities are in the center of the response of HIV, and the role of young people and key populations could be innovating the ways to make this advocacy. Like young people, we have several resources to make the things in a different way. We have social networks, we have YouTube channels. In J+Black, for example, we have influencers in Instagram and TikTok. And I think this is an awesome opportunity to improve the skills of the HIV movement and implement self and collective care practices. So my invitation is to put in the center of HIV response the young and key populations, to give young people the opportunity to share these resources and to renovate the strategies to make activism.
Thank you so much. Agatha.
Thank you. Okay, my call to action would be for young people who are listening, take the initiative to educate peers and community members about the importance of self-care, including practices related to sexual health, mental well-being, and overall health maintenance. Utilize social media platforms to amplify self-care messages. Establish or participate in peer support networks that create a safe space for discussions around self-care. Organize community workshops, events, or health fairs to engage with a broader audience. Advocate for comprehensive sexual education in schools and communities. Actively challenge and address stigma and discrimination related to health issues. Join or create youth-led organizations focused on health and well-being. Embrace digital health tools and applications that provide information, resources, and support for self-care. Foster positive relationships with healthcare providers and professionals. Be a role model by practicing proactive self-care in your own life, and recognize the diversity within communities and collaborate with individuals from different backgrounds when you do the self-care advocacy. And last but not least, engage in advocacy efforts to promote policies that support youth health rights and access to comprehensive healthcare. Thank you so much. Back to you, Patricia.
Thank you so much, Agatha. Thank you so much, Jan. Thank you so much, Jerob. You are all amazing. You are stars. And World AIDS Day has been spent educating ourselves more about self-care, educating ourselves about our communities, the communities of young people, and how best we can continue to ensure that young people lead self-care advocacy. So thank you so much. Just to wrap up this session, we've been able to understand why self-care is important and the different self-care advocacy approaches we should take on. For instance, putting our communities first, because young people contribute a part of the population in communities. In fact, in some countries, majority of the population are the young people. So we need to ensure that young people know about self-care so that they can empower their communities, and the communities are fully empowered so that they can lead. And we've also learned that young people actually know what to do, but they need support. We need to understand their communities and support communities so that they can ground themselves to better themselves, especially their self. And then we've also understood and learned that feedback mechanisms are important for all of us, because if we do not utilize them, they will complicate human rights, and yet human rights are part of us. By virtue of being human, we must enjoy our rights. So if human rights are abused and violated, then communities will shatter and they will not be grounded. And then we've also discussed how we should support different people. As young people, we should not wait for parents, for religious leaders, for traditional leaders to come and empower us. But we need to go and empower them as well, because we know what to do and we are empowered and we are brilliant and we are limitless. So that means that we can go ahead. And we've further looked at how some of the areas we should utilize in self-care advocacy, like partnerships, collaborations, both at the grassroots and regional and international levels. We've also looked at using technology in this era of technology, but using it well and maximally so that we care for our health as well. We've also looked at self-care as one way of prevention, HIV prevention. So if we self-care, then we will achieve good health, and good health is public health. And we've also been told to reach out. Do not be afraid to be vulnerable enough to ask where we need help and where we do not know we can ask. And to continue mobilizing, engaging, utilizing podcasts like these ones, our amazing listeners. You've not wasted your day. This is an amazing day because we've heard from young people. And the discussion has been so rich. You've been excellent. Thank you so much, dear panelists. Thank you so much, our dear listeners. And we continue to encourage you to do activities that will raise awareness about the HIV and AIDS pandemic, support those living with HIV, and remember those who succumb to AIDS. Thank to the disease. And remember those who succumb to the disease. So thank you so much for listening. We wish you an amazing day or evening or morning, depending on where you are. Bye. Thank you. Thank you, Youth Care.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.